chapter 7 text 16 chaturvidha bhajante ma jana sukritin arjuna artho jijnyasur arthaarthi jnani cha bharatarshabha. Chatur translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. O best among the Bharatas, four kinds of pious men begin to render devotional service unto me. The distressed, the desirer of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute. Purport. Unlike the miscreants, these are adherents of the regulative principles of the scriptures, and they are called Sukritina, or those who obey the rules and regulations of the scriptures, the moral and social laws, and are more or less devoted to the Supreme Lord. Out of these, there are four classes of men: those who are sometimes distressed, those who are in need of money, those who are sometimes inquisitive, and those who are sometimes searching after knowledge of the Absolute Truth. These persons come to the Supreme Lord for devotional service under different conditions. These are not pure devotees because they have some aspiration to fulfill in exchange for devotional service. Pure devotional service is without aspiration and without desire for material profit. The Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu defines pure devotion thus: Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmadi anavratam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktiruttama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. When these four kinds of persons come to the Supreme Lord for devotional service and are completely purified by the association of a pure devotee, they also become pure devotees. As far as the miscreants are concerned, for them, devotional service is very difficult because their lives are selfish, irregular, and without spiritual goals. But even some of them, by chance, when they come in contact with a pure devotee, also become pure devotees. Those who are always busy with fruitive activities come to the Lord in material distress, and at that time associate with the pure devotees and become in their distress devotees of the Lord. Those who are simply frustrated also come sometimes to associate with the pure devotees and become inquisitive to know about God. Similarly, when the dry philosophers are frustrated in every field of knowledge, they sometimes want to learn of God, and they come to the Supreme Lord to render devotional service, and thus transcend knowledge of the impersonal Brahman and the localized Paramatma, and come to the personal conception of Godhead by the grace of the Supreme Lord or His pure devotee. On the whole, when the distressed, the inquisitive, the seekers of knowledge, and those who are in need of money are free from all material desires, and when they fully understand that material remuneration has nothing to do with spiritual improvement, they become pure devotees. As long as such a purified stage is not attained, devotees in transcendental service to the Lord are tainted with fruitive activities, the search for mundane knowledge, etc. So one has to transcend all this before one can come to the stage of pure devotional service. Om ajnanate chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukritino arjuna artu jijnyasur artharti jnani cha bharatarshava. O best among the Bharatas, four kinds of pious men begin to render devotional service unto me: the distressed, the desirer of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ. ലോങ് ടൈം എഗോ ദർ വാസ് എ ടെലിവിഷൻ സീരിയൽ ദാറ്റ് യൂസ് ടു കം. This was maybe 15 years ago. So in one of the episodes, a particular story was shown. There was a mechanic, automobile mechanic. Somehow he couldn't make good money in life. So one day he was walking through a lonely street. And as he was walking through a lonely street, a car passed by him. And the car passed by him and after some time came to a screeching halt. He wondered why. The driver got out, and it had so happened that the automobile had a tire puncture. There happened to be some nails on the street, and because of those nails which are present on the street, the tire got punctured, and so the driver had to stop the vehicle. So the driver got down. And he was desperate. It was a lonely street. And his automobile couldn't move. It had a puncture. So he looked around and he was the only person. The mechanic was the only person around. So the mechanic said, I am a automobile mechanic. I can help you out. And immediately he took out the spare wheel and replaced the punctured wheel. And the driver was so happy. He gave so much of money to the mechanic and then he happily drove off. So this mechanic, who was anyway desperate because he couldn't make money in life, an idea clicked to him. What did it? It was a lonely street. So he hid behind some trees on the side of the road. And he purposefully took a few nails and put it on the road. So the next car came. When the next car came, again the next car had a tire puncture. Now it was more likely because the mechanic himself had put so many nails on the road. So again the automobile came to a screeching halt. Again the driver with his whole family, the person with his whole family in the car, they came out and they were all desperate. And again they saw this mechanic and they were so happy. So the mechanic said, I can help you out. And he came forward, replaced the tire, and they happily drove off after giving a lot of money to this mechanic. So the mechanic put more nails on the road. Now the next vehicle came. Again, it had a puncture. Again, the mechanic repaired the tires. Again, he was paid. In this way, the mechanic, all he used to do is wait on the side of the road and used to get sure shot customers. Now from the mechanic's point of view, he was making good business through this way. But consider the person who is driving the automobile. Each person who is driving the automobile. Every person had the feeling that on a lonely road, my automobile had a tire puncture. I had such an important engagement. My automobile broke down in the middle of the road. It was a crisis. And somehow, by good luck, there was a mechanic there. In the middle of nowhere. It was an empty road.
only one person was there, and that happened to be a mechanic. Just see how fortunate I am. And then this mechanic came and he repaired my tire also. He had all the instruments also with him. Just see how fortunate I am. Otherwise, what would have happened? I would have missed the appointment. What would I do alone on the lonely road? So this is what every driver thought when he crossed through that road. Little did he know that there was a conspiracy that was going behind the scene. This mechanic was enacting this conspiracy, the man behind the conspiracy. Similarly, this verse of the Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukritin arjuna artho jijnyas artharti jnani cha bharatarshava, hints at such a conspiracy by Krishna. Now in this verse, Krishna says, four kinds of pious men begin to render devotional service unto me. The distressed, the desirer of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute. Now the whole material world, with the material world and with the people in this material world, Krishna is playing a supreme conspiracy. He himself puts people into trouble, and he knows when pious people get into trouble, they will turn to him. And when they turn to him, he is there to give them the gift of devotional service. Now in the story that we analyzed, it was a crooked motivation. But when it comes to Krishna, it is his unlimited paternal love for the living entities. Because the conditioned soul, he doesn't know where he can find happiness. He's trying every possible way, desperate for happiness. But he has missed the clue of where real happiness can be found. So that he can turn back to him, Krishna ploys. And he has created the material world in such a way that there is problems at every step. And when a conditioned soul out of distress turns back to Krishna, Krishna has got a chance to award the conditioned soul the supreme gift of Krishna consciousness. The Srimad Bhagavatam says, Akama sarva kamo va moksha kama udaradhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushaparam. Akama sarva kamo va, a person might be without desires. Sarva kamo va, a person might be full of desires. Moksha kama, a person might desire liberation. Whatever your desire might be, the Srimad Bhagavatam advertises, perform intense devotional service to Krishna. Now, performing devotional service to Krishna with any other motivation except gaining loving devotional service unto him is not considered the highest. Now, as you observe here, Krishna says four kinds of people come to him. Those who are in distress, those who are inquisitive, those who are searching after knowledge, and those who are desiring wealth for themselves. Now, they have got motivations in mind to come to Krishna. Now, nowadays, religion is considered to be something like a business. That is, you approach God or religion to get some material desires fulfilled, to gain some money, or to become free from some kind of troubles in life. But actually, devotional service to Krishna, or pure devotional service, means free from all motivations, including motivation to become free from distress or motivation to gain money or any other motivations. It has to be simply for pleasing Krishna, out of love, motivated by love. That is pure devotional service. That has to be aspired for. Because only that can completely satisfy the soul. Ahetuki apratihata yayatma suprasidati. When devotional service is motivated by any other desire, that becomes mixed devotional service. And to the extent devotional service is mixed, to that extent, it doesn't satisfy the self. It has to be exclusively for Krishna alone, with no other motivations in mind. Nonetheless, Krishna, through the Srimad Bhagavatam, he encourages even people who approach him or who come to him with other motivations, motivations apart from simply pleasing and serving him. Even people who have motivations to gain wealth, even people who have motivations to become free from distress, they were welcome on the path of pure devotional service. Krishna actually says in the coming verses, Udharadi, he glorifies such people that they have chosen to come to me. Again, this is Krishna's conspiracy. Even though this is not pure devotional service, but Krishna welcomes even such people. It's like some companies from the West, when they come to India, they find in India there are so many competitors for a particular product. So what these companies do, when they enter the Indian market, they immediately lower their prices, lower the prices of their commodities. So as soon as they lower the prices of their commodities, everybody, they feel that all other brands are selling their products at such high rates. And this particular brand, it is selling their commodities for so cheap rates. So even people who had no desire of buying that commodity, they become inspired to buy that commodity. Sri Radha Gopinath ki jai. And the customers increase. So this new company, it attracts the customers of even other companies. And there are so many customers now. And the other companies, they undergo losses and soon they have to shut down. And when all the other companies shut down, this foreign company, it is the only company left in the market. It is the only brand that is producing and selling that product. Now that it has acquired monopoly over the market, what it does is immediately hikes the prices. And now the customers, they have no other choice. No choice except to buy products from this company. And there are other customers who are already habituated to utilizing this product. And because they are already habituated, they are addicted to the product, they are ready to pay any price to buy the product. In some ways, this is how Krishna also works. This is the conspiracy of Krishna. Akama sarva kamova moksha kama udharidi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushaparam. Krishna says, whatever your desire might be, you may not be able to pay the highest standard of pure devotional service. It doesn't matter. Come to me. Become my devotee. And once you become Krishna's devotee, then Krishna starts demanding various things so that you become more and more purified in devotional service. This company is motivated by the desire to gain more profit. But in Krishna's case, Krishna is thinking of our profit. what is best for us. He knows, as long as our mind is diverted to so many other things in this world, we cannot satisfy our souls. So first of all, he plots to create distress in our lives or to create various impediments in our lives so that we seek shelter in this world. And when we are seeking shelter in this world, Krishna opens his arms wide to invite us, come to me. And once we come back to Krishna, we realize that Krishna's arms have the capacity to satisfy our deepest desires. So this is how Krishna works in the material world. Sri Chaitanya Prabhu, some time back, he was giving a Bhagavatam class. So he told a very nice story. There was a village, and there are two shops in that village, both general stores. In India, you'll find general stores everywhere. General stores means everything under the sun they keep. So these two general stores were selling identical commodities: rice, wheat, etc., sugar, etc., all these things, cereals. But as time progressed, one company was making a lot of profit. One shop was making a lot of profit, and another shop was undergoing loss. So the person, the shopkeeper, was undergoing losses. He became surprised. I am also selling the same commodities, and this person is also selling the same commodities. But people are more attracted to his shop than my shop. So one day he asked the other shopkeeper, what's the secret? How come you are able to attract so many customers? So the shopkeeper said, it's a business secret. I won't generally reveal it to anybody, but because you are my close friend, I want to tell you the secret. What is that secret? Just here. Suppose a customer comes to buy 5 kilos of sugar. So every shopkeeper has an approximation that this much amount of sugar means 5 kilos. Now what you do, the profit-making shopkeeper told to the loss-making shopkeeper, what you do is you take sugar which is approximately more than 5 kilos. And then to bring it to the level of 5 kilos, you remove sugar. But when I give 5 kilos sugar, I take sugar which is approximately less than 5 kilos. And then to make it 5 kilos, I put sugar. So when the customer sees, he feels that this shopkeeper, that is me, is actually their well-wisher. He is putting sugar. But the other shopkeeper is removing sugar. Actually, both of us are giving only 5 kilos only, but it is a psychology. This is also Krishna's way of working in this world. Because Krishna, somehow, he wants us to taste the nectar at his lotus feet. Somehow, he wants us to experience him. Because once we experience him, then that's it. We become addicted to him. And who are Krishna's agents in this world? His devotees. Now in this world, the chance theory is very popular. Now especially the modern scientists, they propagate this chance theory for everything. From the origin of life, to the evolution of species, practically everything under the sun, they try to explain it through the chance theory. But those who are well versed with the Vedic scriptures, they understand that there is nothing called chance in this world. How can anything happen by chance? There is only one place where chance theory applies, Prabhupada says in a purport of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and that is in the field of Agyata Sukriti. Now in this verse, Krishna speaks about Sukriti. Now Agyata Sukriti means unknowingly a person performs some activity that is conducive for devotional service. For example, when Srila Prabhupada went to the West, he had practically nothing. He was an old man and it looked like he was constantly getting into trouble. He had no place to live. He was staying at the Boweri. A Boweri is a place where it was the worst part of the city of New York, where drunkards, drug addicts used to stay. And Prabhupada was staying with a room partner who was a heavy drug addict. And one day, he attacked Srila Prabhupada because he was high on drugs. And Prabhupada immediately had to leave the place of his residence. Now he was in the middle of New York City, nowhere to go apparently. An old man with no money in hand in the middle of the street like New York. We cannot imagine ourselves in the middle of Bombay also, even though we are Indians. But Prabhupada was an Indian in the middle of New York, a foreign country, in the middle of a street, apparently in a helpless situation. So many people, many youngsters who were attending Srila Prabhupada's classes, they felt that this person has to be helped. We have to help this Swamiji who requires our help at this point of time. And many of them volunteered to help Prabhupada relocate himself to another place and they carried his luggage. These young people didn't have an intention of rendering pure devotional service to Krishna. But through the medium of Srila Prabhupada, Krishna tricked them to engage in his devotional service. So from their point of view, by chance, they met a helpless Swami and they helped him. From their point of view, it is chance. But from Krishna's point of view, it's a conspiracy. It's a definite plan, a definite plot. So Prabhupada goes on to explain that Agyata Sukriti might seem to be like chance, but actually that is also planned by Krishna. So that somehow a person in this world is diverted towards devotional service. So in this verse, Krishna says, four kinds of people come to render devotional service unto his lotus feet. But this is not pure devotional service. The person who has begun to render devotional service to Krishna with these motivations of gaining wealth, to become free from distress, to satisfy his inquisitiveness, or for searching knowledge, such a person has to come to a stage wherein he has only desire to render service to Krishna with no motivations whatsoever, with the only desire to serve him and please him. How is this accomplished? This also happens by the grace of Krishna. Krishna not just arranges a setting where a person turns towards him. Krishna not just makes things conducive and lucrative for a person to render devotional service unto him, But also, Krishna provides all facilities for that person who has turned towards Him to reach the ultimate climax of pure devotional service. And that He does by giving the conditioned soul the association of His pure devotees. Prithu Maharaj in the Srimad Bhagavatam explains what happens when a conditioned soul chances to associate with a pure devotee of the Lord and hears from Him.
Sa uttama shloka mahan mukachyuto bhavat padam bhoja sudha kana lila spritim punar visvrata tattva vartmanam kuyogi nam no vitarati alam varai.
The pure devotees of the Lord, when they speak about Krishna, so uttama shloka mahan mukachyuto bhavat padam bhoja sudha kana nila. The sound vibration that comes from their lips, it might seem to be like ordinary sound vibration, but they are not. Why? Because they are speaking from the heart. And their heart is in direct contact with the saffron dust particles that are strewn at the lotus feet of Krishna. Because their heart is in direct contact with those saffron dust particles at the lotus feet of Krishna, when they speak from the heart, the sound vibrations that they vibrate carries the aroma of those dust particles. And when that dust particles touches the heart of the conditioned soul, what happens? Smitir punar visprata tattva vartmanam. The conditioned soul revives his lost memory of his relationship with Krishna. He comes to understand that I am eternally related to Krishna, and my desperate necessity is to revive that lost relationship. That is the only need of my life. That is my only requirement. Because he is able to smell the aroma of those dust particles. Just like we also see in Bombay, sometimes the trains are so crowded. And I used to wonder, you know, that how people are able to make out that their station has come. Because not every train has that facility. Pune station, Dadar. Not every train has that facility of announcement by which people can come to know that their station has arrived. But then someone told me that a passenger, a seasoned passenger who is sitting in the railway compartment, somewhere in the middle of the compartment. So because he is regularly traveling by that route every day, he knows the distinct smell that comes from each station. So as soon as his particular station comes, he understands, my station has come. Or when the previous station comes, understands, next is my station. And he makes preparation to get out. Something like that. So the conditioned soul is passing through different stations of life. Trying this, trying that. So many alternatives. But finally, when he gets a chance to hear from the pure devotees of the Lord, then what happens? Smritir punar visprata tattva vartmanam. He chances to smell the aroma from the lotus feet of Krishna. And when he smells that aroma, then he understands it's time to get out of the train of material existence. Now it's time to get out of this cycle of repeated birth and death. Now it's time to get out of this crowded compartment, to breathe fresh air. Now it's time for liberation. Until that time, he's stuck within this material world, and this material world is terribly stinking, just like a train compartment. And it is no place for a gentleman. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, this material world is no place for a gentleman, just like a railway compartment in its busy hours. During peak hours, however well polished your shoes might be, however well ironed your clothes might be, still you cannot act like a gentleman within the railway compartment. You have to be acting like the others. So similarly, this material world is no place for a gentleman. It is stinking, it is smelling, so much of misery. The soul wants to breathe the fresh air of liberation, and that is not available in the material world. And so the soul, when he hears the vibration, the sound vibration from the lips of the pure devotees of the Lord, his memory is revived. And then he makes a definite decision that now I have to get out of material existence. So the whole plan of Krishna is explained in this verse. Is first of all, Krishna himself makes the world in such a way that there is problems. Some people, they are troubled by problems. Some people feel that I require money. Some people have that craving for knowing more things. So Krishna deliberately plans out such things. And then he has provided himself in the form of his messages in books like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And then when the conditioned soul comes to him, then Krishna provides the association of his pure devotees. So that the journey of the conditioned soul reaches its culmination of attaining his lotus feet. So it's very interesting how Krishna is so perfect. Apart from being so kind, he's so perfect that he's able to plan out the life of every individual soul. And he himself has expanded himself to become the Paramatma to guide each and every individual soul, all motivated by his intense love for everyone within this material creation, so that every one of us come back to his lotus feet. And Krishna has provided the easiest method by which we can come back to his lotus feet through the chanting of his holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Any questions? Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.